Welcome to another episode of Spock Sports Show, sponsored locally through Barbary Law Firm. It's a look at everything sports here in the Mid-Michigan area. And now, here's your host, Chris Spockman.
Chris Spockman hanging out with Jason Johnston, softball coach. Almost want to say baseball. We're talking about baseball here in just a minute. I'm sure you played yourself a lot of baseball going back in the day, Jason, yeah?
I did a little bit, yep. Yeah.
And softball. First of all, before the Sacred Heart Academy game, you guys actually had another game to get to that district final. Who was that even against?
Yeah, we played Coleman.
Coleman? Opener, all right. Yep. And similar to baseball, you split with Sacred Heart in the regular season. What was your thoughts going into that game? And for people who don't know, we'll dive into it here in a minute. It was an absolute classic.
I knew that they were going to be good and that they were going to battle. Like, they're just tough. Josh has them prepared for every game. And so we kind of handled them like when we went with our first squad against them in the regular season. So I wasn't expecting quite that dramatic of a game, but I knew that it was definitely not going to be easy, and we had to play, you know, and moving forward, we got to clean some things up still. We still haven't hit our peak.
When did that game start? Was it able to start at 2 o'clock on time?
We started it at, I think the scheduled time was 3.
For my situation, the way that Saturday went, I got to see that classic with Beale Sacred Heart baseball early in the morning, 10 a.m., 3-0 victory, great pitching duel between Brady Davis and Caden Smith. And then Coleman was able to walk off against Montebello. And you kind of knew in that district championship game in baseball that it might be, you know, a slobber knocker. And it was. It was 17-0, 2.5 innings for Beale. And then found out after the game from Griffin, it was tied 4-4 at Sacred Heart Academy. I thought, you know, and pack up my equipment and call Lisa Ancliffe. I says, it's still tied at 4. She says, yep, still the 6th inning. I says, I'm on my way. I says, call me, you know what I mean? Call me if anything happens, if it ends. And I got there in the 7th, still tied at 4. Then it was the 8th. You guys score 2 runs, and then somehow they score 2 runs. Can I talk a little bit about how dramatic that was for you?
Lauren Gross, you know, comes up huge for us and hits a 2-run bomb. And so I was feeling really good. We had kind of kept them in check. And I can't remember if it was an error or a walk, but somehow we turned their lineup over and Marin got to the plate. And I just knew that that kid's such a player that we didn't want to face her. But here we roll it over. She bangs one, you know, into the gap and scores 2 runs. You know, and then going into, you know, extra innings, we're the visitor. So if you don't score, you know, it's a tough road to get those 3 outs. But we were able to do it
in the 9th and in the 10th inning. And then it went to the 11th, and myself and Andy Latham, the athletic director at Sacred Heart, kind of found out, oh, there's a tiebreak rule in high school baseball and softball, just like they have in the majors now, but you really don't see it because you don't have a game like this very often. Got to the 11th inning. Was it runner has to start on second base?
Yep.
And have you ever been in a game where that's happened?
Yeah, earlier in the year we played Clare, and we were into international. But in the regular season, you do it in the 8th inning. You don't wait until the 11th. So it's not uncommon. It happens. But we didn't have a ton of experience, and we're always talking about what's the best strategy there. You got a runner at 2. You know, you can walk somebody and set up a force, or you could just ignore it, assuming both teams are going to score. Because that's just kind of my expectation. But we ended up piecing together a few hits. I feel like they might have all been 2-out hits. Macy came up and
I think you're correct. Yep.
Yeah, she drove in the run. You know, Taylor that started off, I was worried we were going to leave her at 3rd. And then Emma Block comes up and drives one in. Eva Lynch had a big hit to drive in another run. So, if you're in that international, you've got to hope to get to.
And what you're saying with that is that's the rules once you get to the international tiebreak rules. Is that where you're saying international?
Yes. Hey, that's what it's called.
Well,
my bad.
Like, well, no, and you're like I said, it's some new terminology to me because, like I said, I haven't seen a game this good. I haven't seen a game go to the 11th inning in the district championship. And so it was just special. And then you guys are able to get 3. They come up. They started, you know, moving around the bases. Man, what was your thoughts going through that?
You know, even I think it was the 9th inning, and I was just thinking to myself, no matter how this game goes, we've played great. We got to, you know, take it away that sometimes you play a really good team and somebody's got to lose, right? And so you could both play great games and still come up short. So I was kind of coming to terms with that. I think it was the bottom of the 9th. We didn't score. And so I was just like, all right, here we go. But, you know, I just, being the dad and being a coach is a tough spot to be sometimes. I try not to brag about my kid, but she did a great job.
You know, and in particular, in a game like that too, man, where you know the emotions are going to be, and man, and Josh has got a daughter on the team too, man. That,
yeah.
Just, you know, the more we talk about this game, you know, if you weren't able to be there and see it, ask somebody about it, because it was a special game. It was a special environment, and everybody who was in that Beale City Sacred Heart baseball game at 10 a.m., this one went so long, everybody was able to, you know, as well as when I came pulling in, I think it was Owen McKinney and somebody else pulling in front of me, because they were able to make it to see that finish. When it finally ended, you know, they always talk about, you know, the weight off your shoulders, the monkey off your back type of thing. How, you know, what was that lift like when it finally ended, when you saw your girl celebrating, you know, on the diamond? How did you feel?
I mean, it was super exciting to get that win. But I just kept saying to them, this is step one. You know, we are not satisfied with the district title. That was a big win. We knew we had to play Sacred Heart early. But our goal, I mean, we have it on a poster in the dugout, the state title. Like, that is our vision, and that's what we're shooting for. So I just kept telling them, don't be, you know, celebrate today, but don't be satisfied. This is not enough.
Yeah, but they can ask the boys from baseball about, you know, I mean, they got the experience the last couple of years. Yeah, but it's just step one. And regionals coming up Saturday. Who do you guys got to match up against?
We play Michigan Lutheran Seminary first. I've done some, you know, checked out Game Changer. I've called everybody that I know that has played them to kind of get the rundown. So we'll be ready for them.
And what time is that game Saturday?
That's the second game. So it's noon.
Noon here at Beale City. Yep. And then the championship game is scheduled for...
But
you never know. They usually get pushed back. You know, they're never going to get moved up, you know what I mean, because it's scheduled for that 2 o'clock time. Like I said, right. I think we started our baseball game right around 3 o'clock, because that's just the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah, it does say 30 minutes after the previous one finishes, so I'm guessing we'll get the finals rolling
All right. At
a reasonable amount after.
Yeah, like I said, I'll be with the Beale City boys when you win the state title. You know, you kind of get the carte blanche to follow, too. But like I said, we're going to be keeping everybody up to date on what you guys got going on as well. Coach Johnson, thanks so much for taking some time to chat with me, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you.
If you've got legal questions and you don't know what to do, my attorney is Joe Barbary. He can be yours, too.
Hi, this is Joe Barbary. Here's a motor vehicle accident tip. If you've been injured in an auto accident, you don't have to go to Detroit to get the best legal team to represent you. Myself and my staff have been doing auto accidents in the Central Michigan area for over 30 years. Most people I know don't want to drive 150 miles to meet with somebody that they've never met before. If you retain us at Barbary Law, you'll meet with an attorney face-to-face, and you'll be minutes away from doing so. So keep that in mind. If you're injured, or God forbid, a loved one is injured or killed in a motor vehicle accident, contact Barbary Law and we'll take care of you.
My attorney is Joe Barbary. He can be yours too.
Chris Botman just got done with talking with Coach Johnston, now out here in the dugout. And Brad, he's got his day job he's still got to do. You guys are, well, I guess, Jake, you're working your day job now. Are you doing anything, Jack, or are you just chilling before baseball practice these days?
Yeah, I'm working with my dad for now.
All right. And, yeah, Jake, you're working with your pops right now, too?
No, I'm not. I've actually been working for Thomas McCann.
Oh, all right. Boomers?
Yep.
All right. So shout out to him for that. And first of all, 3-0 over Sacred Heart Academy Saturday morning. Coming into that game, you guys knew that was going to be a big one. I think you probably both knew it was going to be a pitching duel with Brady and Caden Smith. Talk a little bit about that game. We'll start with you, Jake.
We came into it. We were going to play like it was a state title game. I mean, 1-2, two great teams, a crosstown rival. I mean, we were amped up for it. That's the game that we've been getting ready for since day one of the season. And every single year, that's our goal. We got to beat Sacred Heart first. And we came out, we did our thing. Caden threw a heck of a game, did exactly what we needed to do. We put some big hits together on the field. Owen McKinney had that awesome triple that scored two, and it was awesome.
Jack, what do you remember about the game?
Yeah, I mean, it was hyped up. You know, you have 1-2, crosstown rivalry, Beale City versus Sacred Heart. So that was all there. There was a bunch of people here, probably the most people I've seen at a game, excluding the state finals game. And we played clean, I thought, for the most part. Caden threw phenomenal, had some timely hits, and able to come out on top, which was huge.
Yeah, I talked about, you know, the athletes that were out there in that game. I made the joke a couple times that, you know, and I don't know if you guys have heard the song, you know, way off in right field out in the distance, you know, da-da-da-da-da. So, you know, kind of the right fielder sometimes is the worst players. And it'd be me out in right field is what I joke about. The right fielders in that game were Bennett Gildy and Noah Zine. It just kind of talks about how great of athletes were out there. And when you guys think back about the rivalry with Sacred Heart, you guys unfortunately weren't able to play football against them. But going back, thinking of some of the basketball games, thinking of some of the football games, and even for you, Jake, just being in the stands, man. What does that rivalry meant to you guys over those high school years?
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. You know, a lot of the guys, I mean, I've we've played with some of them for how many years, and there's some great athletes on both sides, a lot playing college baseball, basketball, football, anything that you can think of. I think they even have one kid going for hockey.
Yeah.
And just great athletes, great kids, and it's been fun.
Yep, and as Caden walks in here, you guys are just talking about him. What's it mean to have a guy like that to go out on the bump and know if you get one, two, or three, you're going to be in pretty good shape?
It's huge. I mean, you have someone who's consistent as they come. You know you're going to get a shutdown pitcher every time he's on the bump. So,
yep. Jake, for you behind the plate, man.
Oh, it's great. I love – he's hands down my favorite person to catch for that I've ever caught for.
And that's not knocking on anybody else.
Oh, no, yeah. No. I mean, we have great pitchers. Josh Wilson, Lane, Blake, Owen, Jack. I mean, they're all great to catch yeah. for. But, I mean, Caden, I mean, he's about as dominant as it comes in D4. It's great to catch for him. And then I feel like we have a lot more confidence in the dugout offensively, too, because we know we don't have to put up as many as we do. But Caden's always – he's our wall that we know he's always going to be there. And if we can put up one, two, or three, then we'll win the game.
I like how you said he's our wall. I think that's kind of a cool way to put that. And now Coleman was able to come back and beat Blanchard Montebello in the seventh inning. They had beat him – Blanchard Montebello had beat him twice in the regular season. I made the joke a couple times. I'll say this, too. And I love Coleman. I like all the kids out there. They play hard. I says, man, it's got to be Coleman. I says, it's always Coleman in my district championship games, whether it's you guys, whether it's Sacred Heart Academy. And then I penciled in Blanchard Montebello. I actually wrote in their starting batting lineup. And, of course, you know, the broadcaster's jinx. Coleman comes out and puts up a bunch of runs at the bottom of the seventh. They end up winning. Were you guys surprised by that at all? Or
I wasn't really sure what to expect, honestly, through the game. I didn't know a whole lot about either team. But, you know, once it hits June, playoffs are coming, anything can happen. So,
yeah, I didn't really know what to expect. I mean, we were watching it,
and you guys,
stuff happened, and Coleman won.
You guys didn't let him carry any momentum over, though. I said nine, but I forgot. They only had nine on the scoreboard. It was 13 you guys put up in the first inning. Is it tough to have the keep the chain moving mentality when you're coming up, there's two guys on base, and you just really want to knock one? Or is that kind of something that's been instilled in you guys with Antcliffe of like, hey, you got to be patient at the plate. If they don't throw you a pitch to hit, you just keep on moving.
It is tough because, I mean, especially coming off the Sacred Heart game, you're coming off such a high from a big win, just to keep that momentum rolling and not kind of have a hangover from the first win almost. So just to keep that competitive edge and keep going is tough at times.
But is it tough for you at the plate not to swing away, though, when you know the right play is to be patient?
It depends. I mean, if I get the take, I'm not going, but if I don't get the take, it's green.
Yeah, I feel like Cliff, he's pretty good about that. He'll let us swing until it's too much, and he's like, all right, ease up, and he'll give us the take sign or whatever. We'll stop stealing. Obviously, we always go on pass balls, but we let up at a point.
And it's one of those, you know, with seven walks or whatever. I just, you know, it's at some point or whatever, I'm up there, and just, you know, me not being a smart baseball player, I'd want to take a swing even though there's a few guys on, and smart move is to take that next pitch. And now Owen McKinney, I was talking with Brad before the game. I says, all right, is he, who's going to move to first, you know, if Josh is pitching? Says it's Owen goes wherever, you know, the pitch. And I'm like, all right, that's pretty darn special. How special is his versatility? You guys have a few guys I feel like they could probably do that on this team, but when you're able to have the one guy who, all right, Owen, who's ever up, you're just going to step in wherever we need you.
Yep, that's exactly what he does, and he does a great job at it. He plays shortstop, first, center, right, left, wherever we need him, third, and he does a phenomenal job. He fills in wherever we need him, and he's always on the field. He's always on the field no matter what.
Has he given Jake a break this year, Jack?
Unfortunately not, but we might have to look into it.
Jack has a couple times.
Yeah, so you've been the backup catcher a couple times? Or I think you caught the first Sacred Heart game, actually, earlier this year, correct?
Yeah, I wouldn't say backup. I think I'm just letting Jake have it for now.
Yeah. Well, it was one of those two that I remember walking by, and I was like, is that Fussman in the catcher's gear? Yes, 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 it is. All right. And all right, favorite moment of the season. Is there one thing that kind of stands out to you guys, a moment in the dugout, a game, or something crazy happened?
It's got to be the Sacred Heart game for me, for sure. It's just something that we prepared for all year, and to come out and play a clean game and play pretty well overall and come out with a win.
And both teams playing. That was the cool thing about that game for me is I rarely get to call what was almost like a professional baseball game at the high school level, because usually when there's one error, it kind of snowballs, but there was zero in that game. What do you remember about it, Jake?
About the game?
Yep.
It was a clean baseball game. It was a lot just like the semifinals and state finals last year. I mean, we played flawless in those two games and won both. We played flawless in that game. And we won both in Sacred Heart also. Yep. They didn't have any errors. We just hit it where they weren't.
And is there another part of the season that sticks out to you, or is it kind of that game?
The part in that game when Owen hit that triple, that was the highlight of that game for me.
Yeah, and Hacker almost made what would have been an amazing web gem catch out there. If he would have come down with that, who knows, you know, what could have happened. And Merrill coming up on Wednesday, so they're 28-6, you know, but MSAC wasn't all that strong this year. What do you guys think it's going to take to get the win?
I think we're going to have to come out. Our pitchers are going to have to throw strikes. We're going to have to hit the ball like we do, and I don't think we'll have a problem.
That's a good Brad Ancliffe answer right there, I feel. What about you, Jack?
Yeah, just stay aggressive offensively. Pitchers pound the zone, and then defense work and play clean in the field.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Thanks so much for chatting with me. We'll see you guys Wednesday.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Spock Sports Show with Chris Spockman, sponsored locally through Barbary Law Firm. The views and opinions heard on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those views and opinions of Latitude Media, our sponsors, affiliates, and My104.3 or Buck 92 Radio. Check out our website for even more podcasts from around the area. Just go to MyMichiganPodcast.com. It's podcasting that matters.